All right, well, everyone, welcome to the Region 2 Planning and Policy Council meeting. Thank you for joining us virtually again this morning. My name's Kirby Fye with the department, but you'll see me on WebEx as Amy Holland. Just a few housekeeping things I'd like to go over before the meeting begins. Just remember, if you're not speaking or presenting, to please mute your phone or computer because it gets a lot of feedback. Even if you're not making a whole lot of noise, we'll get feedback. So please go ahead and do that now if you haven't already. Also, per Governor Lee's Executive Order 51, this meeting is being recorded and it will be posted on the department website in just a few days, 1 to 2 days. So I just want to let you be aware of that. So Mary, now I'm gonna go ahead and go through attendance. So what I'm going to do is go through the individuals that have joined via WebEx, and I'll read off your name, and then I'll go to the individuals that have called in. So like I said, my name is Kirby Fye. I'm with the department. Next, I have Allison, is it Dush? D-U-S-C-H, should I pronounce that correctly?
Yes, that's actually perfect. Thank you.
Great. I have Amy DeLinke, Avis Easley, Candace Allen. I see Karen, but I don't see a last name. Karen, what's your last name? C-A-R-R-E-N.
Broadnax.
Pardon, can you say that one more time? Okay, thank you.
Next.
I see Daniel. Is this Daniel Ellis?
Yes, and I'm actually one of the call-in users as well.
Oh, okay, great. Hi, Daniel.
Good morning.
I see Jan Cagle, Gina Steele-Mack, Jessica Carlton, Karen Pershing, Kubra or Cal Bryant, Kurt Hipple, Mary Nell Osborne, and is that Mel Whaley?
It is. Hello.
Hi, Mel.
Hello.
And then we have two more call-in users. I know Daniel's one of them. Who are the other two individuals who've called in?
Caitlin Talley with Creek Cloud Behavioral Health.
Hi, Caitlin.
Hello.
And Jen Hennessy with Norris Academy is on.
Hey, Jen.
Hey.
All right. Well, Mary Nell, I'll hand it over to you.
Mary Nell, hi, this is Candace. Mary Kasikas had texted in and said that she will be joining in a little bit later. She's running a little late. Just wanted to let you know.
Okay. Did I see Chris Roberts on?
Chris is trying. She just called me. She didn't get the link, so I'm going to send it to her.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I thought I saw her earlier. Ben Harrington is not able to be with us. He is at a legislative something-something, so he won't be with us today. And I'll wait till Chris gets on to give her a little shout-out. I'm going to go ahead and...
She texted me that she found it, so she can be on soon.
I found it.
Good. Yay. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Hi.
Look, I can't find it. I can't find it.
So, Kirby, you can add Chris Roberts. She is our secretary. So, I wanted to thank everybody for joining us today and to welcome everybody to this meeting. Thank you to the state for setting it up. Thanks, Kirby, for keeping us in the loop. We have some good representation today, and I'm really pleased we have 19 participants, so that's great. I wanted to thank everybody who provided leadership for our meeting in May. I was out due to the death of my father-in-law at 96, so we were able to celebrate his life, and it was a wonderful thing. But took me away from duties and office and all of that. So thanks to Amy and everybody who participated in that leadership. I want to thank Chris Roberts and Kirby for the work they've been doing behind the scenes over the last few months to really get our membership data in place. And that is a daunting task to get to keep up with everybody's addresses, phone numbers, whether or not they have a current membership application on file. But it was a huge job, and we were communicating back and forth, and some systems wouldn't read other documents, and it was a huge big thing. And Chris bulldogged it to the ground. So shout out to Chris Roberts, our secretary, for her volunteer work.
Also planning the wedding, I think, too, right?
Planning a wedding too.
I think Chris was help planning a wedding during all that too. She's a rock star.
I didn't know that because I would have been embarrassed to ask for anything. That's horrible.
Isn't she also helping organize the Tennessee NAD conference at the same time?
See, okay. Superwoman.
Okay, we should have gotten her a cape, Jan. We need a cape. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So, thank you, Chris. I'm trying to figure out how not to pin my... Okay. I don't know. Anyway. Anybody here who has not attended a meeting before? I'm going to let you speak up. Remember, you're muted. All right. So everybody has attended a meeting before. As I said earlier, the applications, if you are a member, either with an agency or a consumer, and you're here as a consumer or a family member with a consumer, we're glad you're here. We want your participation. We want input, and we take the work that we are doing in this region is being taken to the commissioner, being taken to the state, and it's acted on. I know all of us as agencies and consumers and family members are going through unprecedented times, and it feels often like we're changing a tire going 90 miles an hour. And some of that's coming to a slower pace, and it's getting to be a more organized event, but a lot of it is still new. And I think we're going to be operating in COVID kind of mode for quite a while. So I really want to continue your involvement in listening to one another about what's going on. I think this is a forum where we can share our professional experiences, and be support as well as maybe problem solve along the way. So I hope that you're encouraging everybody to come on to the meetings or give you information, ask around what people want you to share here, so that we can redirect that to the state. We're going to have some good information, I think, today about some resources that are really good. We heard about that yesterday. And be thinking about folks who are consumers and how to outreach to them and include them in this. We are required by the state to have a percentage of consumers on this committee. So I know we do have some folks that are employed, in a professional role as a consumer, both roles, that all counts. The other thing I think I want to say about that is if you are interested in being a voting member, we do need to have an application on file. Is there anything else that I should say about that, Kirby?
No, I think it's just reminding individuals that, you can represent more than one designation. I know we have some that qualify in all of the categories on the list. It's just whatever you feel comfortable with. It also might be a good idea, too, for the membership listing to be shared with your council members to see if there's any individuals in there who do not yet have an application completed. Because they can complete those electronically as well through Adobe. So just to, it's an ongoing membership list. We have it done for FY20. Now we're in FY21. So whatever works best for you all. I know it's a different time. It's a lot easier to complete those applications in person. So whatever works best for your council, but you covered everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I did send out the minutes that Chris had put together for us from our meeting in May. I wonder if anybody had the opportunity to review those and if there were corrections.
Hi, this is Dan. I think I emailed a correction. Allie Cohn was listed as Allie Collin. Allie Cohn is the Creating Homes Initiative.
With Ridgeview. I got that one.
Okay. Other than that, they look good.
The next, yes. Okay, got it. Any other corrections for the minutes of May? All right. Does anybody have a motion to approve the minutes with as corrected?
I make a motion to approve.
Can we have a second?
This is Daniel Ellis, seconded.
Thank you. All right. I don't have anything else. There's a report from the state TDMHSAS meeting yesterday, but I'm gonna let Kirby go ahead and see what she shares with us. Kirby, you want to go ahead?
Sure. Okay. Let me pull it up. All right. So a few updates I have for you all. The first one, Mary Nell, Amy, and Chris, you'll get an email about this as well, probably next week sometime, but I just wanted to put it on the regional council updates just so it's on your radar. Each year, a joint annual report is produced and delivered to the governor and state legislature that lists accomplishments, challenges, and plans for the future. The joint annual report is a collaborative effort between our department, regional councils, and statewide council. So I'm looking for regional council information, so region two planning and policy council information for FY 2020. So that's July 1, 2019 through June 30th, 2020. That can be included in the joint annual report. You should all be familiar with this. You've all done it a bunch of times. But if you can send that information to me via email no later than September 18th, that would be great. And if you have any questions along the way, don't hesitate to reach out. Year two of the FY 2021 three-year plan is in progress. Once completed, regional council will have an opportunity to review. Should be within the coming weeks. Development of the FY 2021 mental health block grant is underway. I believe Avis shared that last week with regional councils to review. If you can provide feedback to her, that would be great. The 2020 legislative summary is completed and it's been posted to the department website. In my minutes, which Chris, I'll send to you via email so you can just copy and paste them into your minutes. I have the link to the legislative summary on where you can find it on the department website. And Kurt Hippel will be talking about that after my update as well. The department is receiving a $2 million federal grant to provide additional services in response to COVID-19 over the next 16 months. The funding will be used to bolster the state's existing crisis services continuum, behavioral health safety net, and substance abuse treatment and recovery services. The department's grant proposal included a comprehensive implementation approach that includes 5 facets: assessment, capacity, planning, implementation, and evaluation. Services will be planned, developed, and delivered with a special focus on telehealth treatment to ensure statewide availability. The department is also receiving almost $1 million from the federal government to support the mental health needs of Tennesseans living through the COVID-19 pandemic. The grant for $966,380 is through the FEMA Crisis Counseling and Training Program. The funding will provide outreach and support services in all 95 counties. Department staff will be working with community behavioral health agencies to deliver these services. And lastly, Tennessee's healthcare workers and first responders who are on the front lines of the COVID-19 pandemic response have a new resource to reach out to about feelings of stress, anxiety, sadness, or depression related to work. The COVID-19 emotional support line for healthcare workers is available to call at 888-642-7886. The support line is a collaborative project among the Mental Health Active Response Team, otherwise known as MHART, the Tennessee Association of Alcohol, Drug, and Other Addiction Services, also known as TADAS, the National Association of Social Workers, Tennessee Chapter, and the department. Specially trained mental health professionals who answer calls through the line can provide emotional support through active listening, help callers identify and address basic needs, and provide tools for managing stress and making a plan for self-care. It is important to note the support line does not offer mental health treatment, and it is not intended to replace mental health crisis or suicide prevention services. And that's what I have, Mary Nell.
Kirby, can you say what the audience, target audience is for that again?
For which, for the phone number?
The hotline.
Tennessee healthcare workers and first responders who are on the front lines of the pandemic.
That's great.
Yeah, it really is.
That kind of ties into something that we were told about yesterday on the statewide meeting, which I've checked out already, and it's another resource. It's actually an app that you can get from the VA, and it's called COVID Coach, COVID Coach, and I would give it an A++++. If you're familiar with apps that are center focus around wellness or the different aspects of wellness, that is what this app is for. It's daily positive affirmations, setting personal goals, reminders for yourself, but it's for an individual to use in managing their whole health. So we've already looked into it. I think we're going to share it with everybody we know, and I think those are the kinds of things that are bubbling up now is the long-term stress of this event is starting to show in lots of ways as far as on the caregivers. But I think also one of the things I wanted to ask about was increased numbers in people seeking services. So yesterday, another report that was provided to us was about the decision that the commissioner reported to fund the, I'm not going to get it correct, school-based behavioral health staff. They're going to expand and continue the funding, but expand that program. Am I right, Kirby, about that?
The school-based behavioral health program. So yes. That was in the budget before, and as far as I know, it was not cut from the budget. It's continuing.
Yeah, and she said that she's expanding, I think, the roles for those folks are in places where they hadn't gone before. So, Star Trek.
Mary Nell, it's Mary. Sorry, I jumped on late, but do we have any information on when that expansion will actually occur? I know, applications were submitted in June and notifications were supposed to be done in June, but I know, with the budgetary issues, things have been a little up and down, but I didn't know if we had more of a timeline for folks to be notified for that expansion, given that schools have started and or are starting.
That might be a good one for Kurt. Kurt, did you hear that? Kurt?
Hey, can you all hear me?
There he is. Yeah, we can hear you.
Hey. I don't know the answer to that question, Mary, but Kirby and I and Avis can get with Rob Cotterman and see if there's an update on that and get back to you for sure. Sorry about that.
That's great. Good
Perfect.
Question.
Thank you.
Thank you, Veris. Good question. There's also another resource that was discussed yesterday, and it's let me see what it is. Child well-being in COVID. There's an article that was cited yesterday that the DOE, Department of Education, has put together, I believe. But it is called Child Well-Being During COVID. And that is, I wonder if anybody else from the state can reference that or speak to that. These were resources that I was trying to pick up on during the meeting. Again, the meeting will be online as well if we can't get the data here today. Kirby or Kurt, do you have that information about that citing?
It should be on the Department of Education's website
okay.
right now, and it also was sent out, I believe, by Kirby yesterday. So if you have the email that Kirby sent as a follow-up as a member of the statewide council, then you should have the link. I think it was the last thing in Kirby's email that you
okay.
could send out to the region too.
Right.
Mary Nell, also the link, the public meeting recording for yesterday's meeting was posted this morning to the website as well for anybody that's interested in listening to it.
Wonderful. I thought it was a very informative meeting. I tried to pull out these nuggets for our meeting today, but I want to encourage everybody to go back and kind of just scan through, and maybe you can, you know, something else is going to catch your eye as well as what I'm referencing today. But those in particular, what I am hearing from as far as folks who are working in the field, consumers, everybody, is give us some tools to work in this time. Hey, look, Amy DeLinke just posted a chat. Look at this. That'd be cool. Okay, Child Wellbeing Task Force report, July 2020, and it is about their data and their article called Child Wellbeing During COVID. And Amy just gave us the link to that article. So thank you, Amy. Another issue in the commissioner's report was that there have been increases in overdoses. Shelby and Davidson County in particular, East Tennessee has seen a spike, but we did not get in the verbal report yesterday which county. I'm guessing probably Hamilton County, as that's typically the way things go across the state. But there has been also a call awareness from the state and a call for an increase in providing naloxone to people in the communities. So, I wanted to let you know that there was discussion yesterday. For those of you who knew her, Andrea Chase at Cary Counseling, who was the clinical director there, has died from complications of COVID. So I plan on sending a professional note to Cary and to express our support of them in this time as an agency, as fellow colleagues, with our regards. Anything else that anybody was on the call yesterday that would like to chime in and add?
Mary Nannell.
Yes.
This is Chris. I wasn't on the call yesterday, but I was on a different meeting where that call was mentioned about the crisis and stabilization teams that DIDD is forming.
Yes, thank you. I've got my note right here. They did a really wonderful presentation regarding the work so far that's been done by their stabilization teams across the state. It was very impressive, their work in getting people who perhaps there are, well, 911 calls or emergency calls, and they have been able to identify that these were people with mental health issues, with developmental issues, who would be better served by directing them to treatment. So they had their data, which was very impressive. They are expanding to Upper East Tennessee in this next fiscal year, and so we'll look forward to that. But yes, that information is attached to that report as well, and will be on the state website. I thought that was a very good presentation, Chris. Thank you. Anything else? All right. Well, I'm going to turn it over to Kurt. Hi, Kurt.
Hi. Thanks so much. I know y'all are disappointed that you'll have to hear from me instead of Zach Blair, but I'll try to do him proud and provide some helpful information for y'all. He went over a part of this presentation in the Statewide Planning and Policy Council meeting yesterday. So if you want a full summary, you could access that link on our website and listen to that. He's also been going around to the various regional councils and providing this update and then letting everyone know that the 2020 legislative summary is available on our website. And I think Kirby has sent or will be sending out that link for y'all. Like I said, I'm just going to do a couple of brief highlights. We try to, in our legislative summary, try to break it up by mental health related legislation, substance use related legislation, general health, and miscellaneous, and state government. So I'll try to hit a couple of bills from each of those sections as we go through. And one thing that Zach does a really good job of is he links to the actual public chapter that has become law so that you can actually see the bill and all the amendments that are incorporated in one place. The first bill that I'll talk about is public chapter 531. This has to do with the Department of Veterans Services, and it requires that department to provide training in suicide prevention to the employees of the department who directly interact with veterans. I think everyone's aware that veteran suicide is a real issue across the country and in Tennessee as well. And this seemed like a very common sense approach to allow for some direct intervention if an employee at the department feels as they interact with a veteran, that they could use some help. So excited about that one. Another, not a bill, but it was a House Joint Resolution. House Joint Resolution 1 states that it's the position or intent of the General Assembly to recognize that teen suicide is a health crisis in Tennessee. And I think that recognition is very important. I think also the governor's announcement, man, time is a flat circle at this point, but I think it was a couple of months ago, a vamping up of a suicide prevention program in consultation with the Jason Foundation. I think a lot of resources are being directed to come to bear on this issue, and rightfully so. Moving on to the substance use controlled substances related legislation portion of the legislative summary, some big things here. Public chapter 732 lowers the, raises the tobacco purchase age from 18 to 21 years of age. This was something that was done on a federal level. And in looking at it after the federal government changed that, that threshold, we work with the Department of Agriculture to do checks to see whether convenience stores anywhere where you can buy tobacco products are complying with the law. And I think a lot of people know this, but not everyone, that if the enforcement level dips below a certain level, then that could impact our block grant funding at the department through SAMHSA. So it's a very important thing to do. Could have a financial impact on some of the services that we provide. So we work very closely with the Department of Agriculture to enforce that. And the Department of Agriculture felt like, even though the feds had made this change at the federal level, that the state needed to follow suit and make that change. So this bill was the result, and I think we'll see some positive effects of this bill. Two other bills in this one that are related, and I think have been on the minds of providers that engage in the council over the last few years. Buprenorphine is a medication-assisted treatment drug that is used to help with opioid use disorder. And for a while, Tennessee was the only state where physician assistants and nurse practitioners were not allowed to prescribe buprenorphine. That changed this year with two bills, Public Chapter 761, which authorizes them to prescribe that substance in a community mental health center or a federally qualified health center. There are a lot of, take a look at this bill if that setting applies to you. There are a lot of caveats and limitations on that, but at the end of the day, it's an expansion of prescribing authority, which is very exciting. And then the second part of that is Public Chapter 771, which is a separate bill that also allows physician assistants and nurse practitioners to prescribe in the OBOT, or office-based opioid treatment facilities licensed by the Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services. Outside of those three settings, the community mental health center, the federally qualified health center, and the OBOTs, the physician assistants and nurse practitioners are still not allowed to prescribe, but they are allowed to prescribe in those settings. General health kind of concerns. The Cover Kids program was extended to June 30th, 2025. And then the annual coverage assessment that TennCare does, along with the help of the Tennessee Hospital Association every year, was enacted this year as well. And that's kind of an assessment that's done in order to draw down some federal matching funds. State government-related legislation, the Board of Social Work Licensure was extended. We had a bill, our administration bill this year, allowed us to reclassify from preferred service position to executive service position an employee of the department who is a psychiatric hospital assistant superintendent, psychiatric hospital administrator, or psychiatric hospital nurse executive. And basically what that does is take some of those higher level jobs at our RMHIs or regional mental health institutes and converts them from an HR setting or classification of preferred to a HR classification of executive service. So that was a small little tweak that we thought would help operations within the hospitals. I wanted to share this one with y'all. This is very important to Region 2, in particular, and one of your members. Public Chapter 694, as enacted, permits the state through the Attorney General to seek an injunction against a person who commits harassment against a state employee. And of course, that bill is known as the Ben Harrington Bill. That's a joke. I wish that Ben had been on the call to hear that.
Oh, I'll share it.
I thought it was pretty good, at least in my head. So, no, that was Ben. It's always good to hear from Ben. But that was an interesting bill, and I'm not exactly sure where that came from, but there's some harassment protections for state employees now. I'm trying to see if there's anything else that needs to be drawn out here. Another big one is Public Chapter 803. It revises provisions governing drug-free school zones and school safety zones and sentences related to those violations. So there's been an ongoing discussion in the General Assembly over the last several years about someone who is arrested within a certain amount of feet, I think it was 1,000 feet, of a school zone for possession of drugs. And that usually kicked in a enhancement in their sentencing. And there was just a lot of discussion back and forth about how big that school zone needed to be. How did it need to be 1,000 feet? Did it need to be smaller? Are you able to really go around in some of the communities in the state and not be within 500 or 1,000 feet of a school? And what is the policy behind enhancing those sentences? So there was a really robust discussion around that, and it's my understanding that the General Assembly reduced the kind of net for those zones. I guess in their thinking, not punish quite as harshly some individuals. So that's kind of the update. Of course, y'all know that there, and I guess Ben is probably engaged in some legislative activities because the General Assembly, is back for their second extraordinary session of 2020. They had their regular session. They came back, to relook at the budget in June, and now they are back in August, and are here, hopefully wrapping up today or tomorrow, knock on wood, to take up three kind of issues. One is telehealth, which the department is engaged in. The second is providing some level of immunity or liability protection to businesses for COVID-19 concerns. And then the third one is looking at possibly enhancing penalties for damage done to state property during protests. So we'll see how all of those topics are addressed. Like I said, we're following pretty closely the telehealth, telemedicine bill, and I'm sure all of y'all are. That's where Zach is right now. He's actually monitoring those committees. That's the summary. Like I said, if you want to get a more knowledgeable, in-depth summary, take a listen to Zach's summary from the statewide council meeting yesterday. And I'm happy to try to answer any questions that y'all might have about this.
This is Karen Bright. I'm going to say I'm grateful to see something about the possibility of individuals being charged when state employees have been threatened with harm. For example, we had a removal situation that occurred here. And one of the parents waited on the worker to come out of the building and attempted to run her over with the car. So grateful to see that there's some thought being put into that, because there are a lot of days that the work, the line of work that we've been doing has been very scary. So I'm grateful to hear that.
Totally. And I think that might have, now that you said that rings a bell, that might have been the impetus of that legislation, because I think Knoxville legislator brought that bill. Yes, I agree. It's important to make sure that we are safeguarding those public servants. Any other questions that I can answer? If not, I'm going to go back on mute. Thanks so much. It's good hearing from y'all. Thanks for all you do.
Mayor Nail?
Yes.
This is Davis. Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. I just wanted to go back to, there was a question regarding the timeline for the school-based liaison expansion and whether agencies or when agencies will be notified. So I've reached out to Carrie Virgo and her team, Rob Carterman, and the response, I can provide you now with a response to that question. And the answer is the award letters are currently in the approval process. And once that process is completed, they will notify organizations as soon as they are able to at that time for additional information.
So they're working on the letters now, and then those will be gone, like 6 weeks?
She did not give me a specific deadline as far as a drop dead time frame, but she did indicate soon.
Okay. So the letters are being done, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for doing that, Avis.
Yes, hope that helps. Thanks.
Thank you, Avis. That's very helpful.
You are welcome.
All right. Anything else about questions or information like that we want to share before we move into committee reports? I did attach a list of who I have as committee chairs and members. If you are on a committee or want to be on a committee and you're not listed, please email me or Chris or both of us and let us know. Your participation is appreciated and needed. So, okay. Well, Mary, you want to kick us off with the report about children and youth?
Sure. It's going to be short and sweet. We have not reconvened this early fall yet. We are set to try to, we usually reconvene in August, so we need to get something on the books and pull our committee back together to start our discussions around children's issues. So I don't have anything further to report today.
That's fine. We've been tending to lots of things. And it sounds like you're going to have some good info to research and dig into a little bit with all that's going on.
Yes. Intending to other things is an understatement.
Trying to survive. That's what we've been doing, trying to meet all the needs. So, yes. And then let's go. Is Michael Yates? Is Michael Yates on the call? I know Ben's not here. Mel, you were left off of this list. Do you want to say anything about legislative committee? may have popped off. Okay, let's move on to the Adult Committee. Candace?
Hello, everyone. Very similar to what Mary's saying, we have not reconvened yet. I think what we're kind of waiting on, too, is just to kind of see where everything kind of falls out, because usually where we are headed towards about, we'll definitely be headed towards about in preparation for the next meeting, we'll be gathering information and trying to prioritize our needs assessment and where we see those kind of prioritizing. So that's what we'll be working on. I don't know if anyone that's on the committee has any updates that they want to give anyone concerning any adult issues. You know, some of the things are longstanding, you know, in terms of housing and some of the stuff that we just keep reiterating, you know, over and over and over again. And we will keep bringing those up in our needs committee. But I don't know if anyone else had anything else to add.
Thank you. All right, substance abuse is Gina on.
Same as the others have said, we have not met. We'll need to meet for the needs assessment. Right now, our agency is not traveling outside the county, so maybe a Zoom meeting to meet as a group.
Kirby, can we ask about state support if we need it for holding virtual committee meetings? Can the state help us with that?
With, like, creating a WebEx?
Yeah.
Call. So I know a lot of people have been just setting up their own Zoom since you don't need to record the meeting. And technically, if we set up a WebEx, then I would have to be on the call in order to run it, which I can't always do. So I would suggest doing Zoom if you can. If it's less than, I think if the meeting's less than an hour, it's free. You don't have to subscribe to anything with Zoom. I could be wrong on that. I've only used Zoom a few times. But I would suggest going that route just because I might not always be there to run the meeting, just to start the meeting, I should say, to get it started.
Yeah, Zoom boots you off, but you can come right back on if your agency doesn't have a license. Some agencies have licenses.
Right. And you don't, like, so we record these meetings per the governor's order, executive order. We like, you know, we need minutes from the subcommittee meetings, but you're not required to record them.
Okay. So it sounds like we are ready to get back on track with meetings. One of the things that I'm wondering about is if part of those meetings could be about the business of getting information for this report that's due back to the state. Candace, what are your thoughts about that? Kirby, you said the deadline was September 18th for us to reflect back on our year.
Yes. If you want, I can send you examples of what Region 2 submitted in the past just to kind of work from. We look for things that the entire council has done as a whole and events or challenges that the council faces as a whole in their region. But we also, I know in Region 2, a lot of your members, it might not be an entire regional council event, but it might be an event that's taking place where many members of the council attend. So you can include stuff like that too, anything. So, for example, I'm just using this as an example, the NAMI walk, which this year I think was virtual.
Yeah.
If a bunch of your members attended that, that still counts. Things like that.
Okay.
I know it was a little different this year. A lot of people had things in mind to do for children's mental health, you know, Mental Health Awareness Month in general, and everything went virtual. So, yeah. So things like that, but I can send you examples of what you've submitted before too.
Okay, that'd be great. And if everybody could, I'm just thinking that the committees might be a good way to organize that collective memory and then shoot it back to me and Chris, and then we'll compile it and send it in as a report. If we can get a deadline maybe for after Labor Day for that, does that sound reasonable? Okay. So maybe info back to Chris and me by September 11th. It's a Friday after Labor Day. That would be helpful. Okay, do we have announcements about upcoming events? Speaking of things.
Okay, I'll have one. And I think it was sent out. Sorry, my phone's going off. The 10 NAD conference is going virtual this year. The event is next week, Thursday, the 20th. There is a registration fee, unfortunately, for people wanting CEUs, but we are having a family track this year, and family members are free. So it's a good opportunity for us to integrate family members into getting some of this information, especially for people with disabilities. So really, I'm looking forward to it being over, though. I wish Ben was here, because I think I feel like Ben a week before the fall symposium. I'm stressed out to the max getting everything ready virtually, which is very different than getting it ready for an in-person conference.
It is.
I mean, we're looking forward to it, and we've had some good response from families so far, so that's a good thing. They're real interested in knowing about these things, and especially touching on some mental health topics with either their younger children with disabilities or their adult children with disabilities that schools and places just don't want to touch on, like alcohol use or drug use or sexuality. These are things just in general that people don't want to talk about, let alone talk about with a person with disabilities. And believe you me, people with disabilities, just because you have a disability does not mean that you do not have some of these other issues.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Can you provide that website where people can find out about it?
Yeah, I'll put it on here in the chat box.
Okay. Thank you. And good luck.
And then one other, it's more of a personal announcement.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's nobody from my employer on this call right now, but I am probably going to be applying for one of the leads for the crisis and stabilization teams in East Tennessee.
Woo-hoo!
So that's where my heart is. And as much as I like my current job, I would like to participate in that. So I've been looking at that. So that may be coming in the future for me as well.
That sounds awesome. Do you know where that's going to be centered? Is it Johnson City or?
I don't know. I know there's going to be 5 teams across the state. Obviously Nashville, Memphis. I believe there's 2 in East. One's going to be more the Chattanooga area, and then the only way that they've worded it is Upper East, but I don't know exactly what that means, how they're going to split East Tennessee. My guess is going to be Knoxville South is one region and Knoxville North is going to be the other region. So, but hopefully when I get hired for this job, I will know more.
Awesome. Good luck. Do we have other announcements or about events coming up or just announcements?
Hi, this is Kubra. I would like to make a quick report on what United Healthcare has been doing. As you all know, we expanded telehealth with 10 care guidance, of course, and we have also been distributing food boxes. And also, UnitedHealthcare Community Plan has been holding weekly meetings with TAMHO Department and TenCare to make the system more efficient regarding care barriers and methods for ensuring access to care. And we've also increased support to providers for transitioning patients between levels of care. So if you have any questions, any requests, complaints going on with this COVID-19 related issues, please contact me. I will get you to the correct department and I'll get you the answer that you may be looking for.
Thank you, Caitlin.
Yes, this is Caitlin Tolley with Creekside Behavioral Health. I just wanted to pop on here real quick and let you guys know that we have some new services now. Of course, we always do the on-site free assessments, but we've also started some tele-assessments. So you can call us directly and we can schedule a time to do the tele-assessment. And after the assessment's done, our assessor will let you all know if the patient is accepted or deflected. Also, we have outpatient, so we have partial hospitalization and intensive outpatient for adults with primary psych or co-occurring, and we're offering that by Zoom as well. So in Knoxville, if say your IOP might be full and they want to do a Zoom outpatient with us, they can call us directly and we can set up a time to do an assessment and see if we can get them into our Zoom outpatient. And we're hoping in a couple months we'll be able to offer some ECT as well. We're working on that, so I'll keep you all updated.
Yes, if you would send that around, I know that I would be very interested in particular in the ECT that you're starting up, as well as the other. But yeah, thank you.
Definitely. And if anybody wants any more information, I can always send handouts. I can jump on a Zoom call. Just let me know, and I'm happy to educate.
This is Amy.
Others?
Did I miss somebody?
It was Cheryl.
Oh, go ahead, Cheryl.
I'm aware that the Pierceport Academy of Knox County and also Blount County are offering support either by phone or through Zoom, and so people can call in or they can log in through their app or their computer or tablet. We're having really a lot of people are saying that this is making the difference. One of the quotes was, this is making the difference between surviving and thriving. And so we're starting a wellness recovery action plan for isolation class. We are beginning tomorrow evening group through the Knox County Pierce Academy, and we have groups for anxiety, for mood disorders, for affirmations. We're teaching topics that the members have requested, and it's been really good. We're having some fun things too. We're going to be doing bingo next. I did it in Blount and it was very successful, so it's a really great resource. I'm very grateful that the state's allowing us to do this. It has expanded our reach. We have more people participating than ever. It's actually changed our demographics. We're now serving more people who, I think previously a lot of people who are referred to peer support centers maybe were people who were mostly on disability and maybe had a little bit on the lower IQ scale. But we still serve the same folks we've always served, but in addition, we have more professional people, people with, degrees, and it's a great mix, and it's great to finally be able to get more referrals
and people are seeing that this is a really worthwhile service. And we're having a lot of fun, and we have a speaker meeting. The last Tuesday of the month, we have a speaker who's going to be talking about mobile crisis and crisis stabilization unit. When is it appropriate to use those services, and what are they? And then the first Tuesday of September, we have Michael Hatcher from Peninsula. He's going to be talking about what happens when, from the time you hit the door at Peninsula, and the services and what to expect. And so these are things that our members have requested, and I'm really very pleased that we're able to provide them with the information, the support, and encouragement that they need during this particular time. So I just wanted to let you know, and if you want more information, just call. You can call me. It's 374-7148, and I'll be glad to pass along information about our program in Knox and also in Blunt and Sevier. But we're really proud of what we're doing, and all of us are so energized by what we're doing, because we know that we're making a real difference. So thank you all.
Hello, this is Jessica Carlton with Helen Ross McNabb. The Helen Ross McNabb Center has partnered with TEMA and SAMHSA and the Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services. We now have a COVID helpline. That helpline is for individuals who have been experiencing any distress related to COVID. We are offering emotional support as well as resources. There are so many resources out there. It's a very difficult web to navigate. So we have people who are trained to help navigate that system and all of the resources that are available. We are offering that service for Blunt, Sevier, Knox, Loudoun, and Monroe. The phone number is 1-855-661-9191, and we just went live last week, so I'm sure some of you will be getting some information from us via email. We have rec cards that we're getting out, and we're really just starting to market, and we're very excited about it, so I thought I'd come here and let you all know about it today.
That's wonderful. Thank you for joining.
Thank you for having me.
This is Jan with Resu. We have the counterpart to that. We have the COVID helpline through Ridgeview. Our helpline is available from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Sunday. It serves our five Ridgeview counties, which is Anderson, Campbell, Morgan, Roan, and Scott. I'm going to post the number and the hours in the chat. The number is 833-503-0348.
Wonderful.
Hey, it's Mary with Helen Ross McNabb. I also just wanted to update the group on, we got some expansion dollars through 2Gen to expand our programming for family treatment services. The expansion will allow us to provide therapy services with particular modalities for pregnant and parenting families, including a specialized curriculum for dads. We're going to offer individual family therapy and an intensive outpatient program that has a parenting component. The targeted population is 0 to 5 age children and their families. We definitely can go above that, but that's kind of our targeted population. And then one of the other things that we're incorporating in our expansion is the ability to provide childcare while families come to treatment. And that will be, the expansion will start October 1st.
So this is an IOP family program specifically for adjusting the parenting component of this family dysfunction. That's the dysfunction, is that right?
Yes. A lot of these families are at risk of or already in the Department of Children's Services or they have involvement. So that's been our base population with the way the program's structured right now, but we take referrals from anyone. We've just been able to partner pretty strongly with the Department of Children's Services through that program. That division also includes our Great Starts program that allows moms and their babies, and or if they're pregnant early in their pregnancy, to come to treatment and be able to stay in treatment with their infants.
Right. That's exciting.
Yeah, we're real excited about it. We know it's a need, and you know, the child care piece is a huge need when you're looking at family treatment.
Is it an everyday thing, all day? What's the time commitment?
Well, IOP is just your standard IOP time frame, so that wouldn't be any different than any other IOP that's out there. The therapy sessions just really depend on whether or not what type of treatment modality you're going to get through your therapy sessions, whether they're an hour or more a week, but usually just weekly. But there's also case management attached to that service, so it would just really vary.
Thank you. All right, so Helen Ross has posted and Ridgeview have posted phone numbers and COVID helplines. That's awesome. I am amazed at the rapid speed with which those things happen. So kudos to everybody involved in those projects. Anything else?
This is Amy. I've got a few things that are kind of new and exciting, specific to some grants with the Department of Health and the Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services. So through the Department of Health, there is a grant that will be working with kind of the creation of a new syringe service program in Cott County. There's also going to be some additional navigators in emergency departments. All that's still being ironed out. They're in the early stages of this grant and still in some of those planning phases. But that grant will also allow Knox County and the region together to be able to design an outbreak response plan specific to overdose. So that's something that we're really looking forward to. And through Michelle Trofeter, who's a part of this group normally, but I don't think was able to attend today, with the CDC Foundation, who's housed here at the Health Department with me. She also works closely with HIDA. And so HIDA will be at the table and we can bring in, you know, our law enforcement partners and public safety to be able to make that connection and really, really be able to address any type of overdose outbreak in the East region. Also looking at another grant that's coming in currently. There's a job posted through the Health Department for an overdose review team coordinator, basically. So we will be able to begin looking at, you know, where can we intervene, where can we try to prevent overdose, using the same model that Child Fatality Review has used for years and other similar groups. So we're still waiting on that to fully come through. That is in partnership with the department. Extremely grateful for the opportunity there. And also with that, we are partnering with Metro Drug Coalition for both grants, really, and some other community stakeholders as well. And then as of Friday, the All for Knox initiative, which of course is specific to Knox County, but being able to develop a strategic plan for this county, trying to figure out how we're going to address substance misuse, which hopefully we can, you know, later expand into some other communities as well, or at least address the folks that are coming to Knox County for other things or on a daily basis. So the goal is to have that plan still completed by September, just 4 months behind at this point. So we're going to try to keep our original deadline and try to get that out as well. So we have kind of a starting place when we are able to really begin that implementation process.
Wonderful. Anything else? Anyone else? Any upcoming events? No? Nobody's going to the fair? Nobody's... I saw a card for it. I got a coupon for it, actually, on my grocery receipt. I was like, who's going to that? I don't know. Maybe the goats. All right. Well, our other news is I want to thank everybody for their participation, and I want to let you know that our next meeting, I had it corrected somewhere, is November 18th. I think we'll still be virtual. And so we'll get you the information about the meeting and the details. Be thinking about who you want to include in the meeting. Encourage them to participate. Share the invitation if you can't. Let me know or let Kirby know. We'll get them an invitation. Anything else, Kirby?
Nothing on my end.
All right. Well, with that, I would like to suggest that someone move that we adjourn.
Carol, I make the motion that we adjourn this meeting.
We have a second?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Candace.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you
so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Chris. Bye, everybody. Be careful.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.